What's going on, listeners? This is your host, Brother X, coming to you, let you know that what we hear in today's episode is not does not re reflect the thoughts and opinions of the Truth and Transparency podcast. So it doesn't get too crazy. Let me not lie, it is going to get crazy. Just know that it does not reflect us as a podcast, and anything that our guests say is of their own volition, and we did not force them to say that. We did not give them a script. It is all their thoughts and opinions. With that being said, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency podcast with your host, Brother X, and
the cultured scientist. Yeah.
All right, love the theme song. And here on the Truth and Transparency podcast, we talk openly and honestly about everything in between, why people can't get right, and why karma sneaks up on a nigga when he's not expecting it. So, listeners, before we get any further into the episode, I want to give you a little story about how the cultured scientist and I had a moment this afternoon where I first acknowledged that I know her very well and she's had to admit it. But then immediately after, karma got me. So the cultured scientist comes home after something she was handling some business. So basically, what ended up happening was she decides she wants to clean our outside a desk, or not desk, table. Is that correct?
A
Table.
patio
Our
set.
patio set. So we're like, okay. But she leads off by saying she's trying to determine if it's going to be too cold outside. Me knowing who she is, I already clocked what she was going to do, that she was about to get ready to try to sit on the hammock for like a good 30 minutes and relax after being home from work. And then immediately, the one I said, you'll last 20 minutes. She's like, what? What are you talking about? You know exactly what I'm talking about. And listen, she knew the outside that she would not be able to stay outside in the cold for more than 20 minutes before coming back inside. She was so like, I can't stand you. You annoying. La, 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 la.
How I sound to you.
Why would I answer that question? That is entrapment. All right. But karma, knowing that I was having too much fun, I couldn't just take the win. I'm making dinner for us. I was making some tacos. So I go to the refrigerator to get some Mexican cheese out of the refrigerator. So I go to like shake the bag to kind of like loosen it up a little bit before I put it on my tacos. Listen, tell me why the bag was loose and I got a whole bunch of Mexican cheese spread out on our floor and not our refrigerator.
Wah,
So the problem was, it wasn't bad at first because I had only saw it. The coach of scientists was about to go out the door. I just happened to look and she happened to look back at me and I was like, nothing. And she's like, what's wrong? I said nothing, so I'm trying to hide it from her. She just looks at it, it's like looks at me. I'm like, yeah, I know, I know,
you didn't draw attention to it.
I
I
know.
would not have noticed it.
I couldn't take the win. I genuinely just could not take the win.
You clearly cannot.
So, listeners, just in the future, men in your relationships, when you have a win, take it, because if you don't, karma gonna get you.
Take it too far sometimes.
Now that I've got.
Ooh.
We trying to be professionals.
I know, but maybe I can back. We can bring back what is culture scientist streaming set. Money shows back.
Okay, we'll come back to that. But first and foremost, want to make sure we introduce our guest. You know her, you love her. She's the international woman of step stools herself in her remote location. Quincy, introduce yourself.
International, though,
Yes, international. I'm
really?
about to say, there is not a step stool you can't find. You go search out the most unique forms of step stools. You get the mahogany from the great Appalachian Mountains to make your step stools. Must I continue?
Please don't
You're right. She was a feature on
pass,
Kendrick Lamar's album.
get out the chat, damn.
Oh, that's
Anyway,
hilarious.
it's your girl Queen C back again. They didn't put me back in the cage quite yet. Guess I wasn't ratchet enough. Maybe this episode will be different. Anyways, just see 1.5 inches of fluff and fun and Taz, stay out the chat, please.
Hilarious. All right, you know him, you love him. He looked like the dad from an upper middle class family in ATL. Taz Creates, introduce yourself.
I'm gonna get you back later, but Taz coming from the West, sending a collection plate your way. Happy to be back on the podcast. Appreciate y'all.
Cool. And I don't know, man. I can't really see him right now. He probably got on like three Boo-Shiesty masks on, probably got like three do-rags under that, and he got his waves on point. Mr. Smith, introduce yourself.
First of all, I'm definitely not wearing no goddamn Pooh-Shiesty because I ain't trying to get shot. Second of all, it's one do-rag. That's all that needs to be done. And thirdly, niggas. All right, anywho, it's your favorite It's your favorite fan, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr. And I want to thank the listeners for the comments, the plays, the subscriptions. Keep feeding us. We'll keep feeding y'all. Number one, shout out to Chaotic Culture Podcast for always showing us love and support. Number two, by the time you guys are listening to this, it will be, or when this episode comes out, it will be the days before our very own Queen C and the lovely Teacher Bae's birthday. So gonna be trying to do it up a little bit this weekend, you know, and we just gonna be. We just gonna be chopping it up, doing it real good, real Big Willie style, slightly.
Big
Uh-oh,
Willie
Queen.
style.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
Queen C, yes.
yes, Queen C.
Although I told him keep his ass off the chat. Our brother Tass has a birthday coming up as well, 3/19. Shout out to the Pisces.
Oh, okay. Well, I okay. Well, I know what I'm getting for you, Taz. OPR eggs. And then lastly, it's going
Nigga, I'm allergic.
to And then lastly, shout out to HBCUs in general. I know the news that we found out regarding St. Augustine is definitely heartbreaking. There definitely are, you know, I hope that the accreditation thing gets resolved and handled properly so that way, you know, we got to keep our HBCUs, man. Like everybody doesn't understand what it's like to be in an HBCU until you go there and you're like, and you go through the trials and whatever. So I hope that everything works out because we, even though we all can roast each other, at the end of the day, we are one big happy family and we hope that everything works out. And side note, I'm so glad I migrated to HBCU during the time that I did because I can't imagine what they do nowadays. Like, nigga, I'm sorry, just real quick. Do you understand the Legion, Club Infinity, Norva tickets, all that good stuff that we had where we didn't have that much internet outside of a Facebook, maybe a MySpace. No, we had MySpace. And nigga, you couldn't Google everything to save your life. You had to know someone to know someone. And may I remind you, MapQuest. You had to print the directions out before you actually drove to the place. Good times. Good fucking times. Back to you, Brother X.
All right, and without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into our first segment, which is our mental health check, where we take a moment out of our day to check in with everybody, see how everybody's mentals are doing. Make sure that we haven't gone too crazy and turned full white folk. Culture scientist, how's your mental doing?
I would say overall my mental was doing well. I got to see my parents this weekend, so that was really fun. I got to spend some time with some a childhood best friend and her siblings, which was also fun. They thought I was fun. They loved me. You know, I love that part also. So yeah, you know, that part was sometimes you need a reboot, and I think that type of reboot sometimes is a fun, a simple reboot like that is sometimes just what you need. So that was wonderful. And I'm just trying to stay focused and figure out what I want to do.
That's real. That's real. Queen C, how are you doing? Hopefully, you are stepping in the right direction. How
You
about
know
that, Mrs.
what?
I'll pay you to put
I'm
the
a step on your neck if you don't leave me alone.
God.
Life is life in. Adulting sucks. But got to have a little bit of fun. Early birthday present to myself. I bought myself a ticket to go see tonight's conversation. If y'all don't see the clips on Instagram, I don't know what's wrong with you. Definitely follow them. They are hilarious. And yeah, they definitely make it feel like a club vibe. Walked in, DJ was playing good old R&B, switched to the 99 and 2000. And then before the podcasters got on stage, they had an auntie ass shaking contest. So they asked for all the aunties, all the Gen X's, to get on stage and show us why Freaknik now has a documentary.
Hey, yo.
Overall, though, it was a blast, and I'm waiting to see one of those questions end up on the IG next month because it definitely will.
Taz, how are you doing mentally?
Not as good as Queen C and her aunties, but I started a new job last month, and it's been relieving coming into like a new work environment where I'm appreciated. So appreciating new beginnings, getting used to new opportunities, and fighting imposter syndrome. So I'm good hanging in there.
Well, Mrs. Smith, let's get our daily our weekly check-in. How are you feeling? How are you mentally? And are you ready to just elope?
Nigga, that's my answer to that. One, Taz, you ain't shit for the comments in the chat. You ain't shit. You ain't shit. You ain't shit. Two, and Brother X, you ain't helping either. So you in timeout as well. Two,
We're gonna be partying in the corner.
oh God. Two, yeah, I understand immensely how people feel when they are planning for a wedding and then they just say, fuck it, we just go all up. I totally 100% get it, because damn. But we're taking it one step at a time. I think the main thing that's been bothering now is the fact that apparently Tweety Bird and his homies then decided to make a camp in my damn laundry vent. So gotta get a nice little specialist to not only flush out the vent, get the nest out, and pay extra money that I don't want to pay on top of that, while trying to pay down this wedding and trying to take care of my normal bills. Adulting, fun, right? But overall, I'm just kind of doing. I'm taking a page out of the book where I'm looking at things that I grew up with to use in times like this where I can, be more mentally stable, more mentally calm. I mean, obviously from the last time we talked where Queen C was giving me a side eye because of the songs that I use in my meditation. So I was like, okay, well, let me try another approach. And so I've been playing classics that don't require internet. So Grand Theft Auto San Andreas and Marvel's Capcom 2. And I forgot. I think maybe like a month or so ago, I found a cheap, not cheap, but not as expensive copy of Def Jam Fight for New York. So my PS2 collection is complete. I will be playing that during these times to keep myself calm. And yeah, I understand why people want to elope, but no, the April 2025, niggas gonna take a vacation and we gonna party it up like it's 1999.
We're gonna have stretch routine beforehand so we can make sure our knees work.
Everybody work out.
Gonna make sure you get your swag surf right. All the way.
Oh, nigga. We gonna make the elders be like, what are they doing? Don't worry about this. This ain't for y'all. This is for us. Let us have this.
Oh, they leave after 9 o'clock. That's a given.
Oh yeah, no, they just gotta know. You gotta go. You gotta go.
Now the question is, if they leave at 9 o'clock, does that mean that we turn it on the DJ Nasty Time music?
Oh yeah, Mr. Freak Nasty, yeah.
It's your day. You let me know.
I mean, hey, look, my it's
All you gotta say is, Julie, do
Hey.
Just know you're gonna go from paying for a wedding to paying for a baby, depending on what you play.
Wow.
You not wrong. You not wrong.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying the Q song should be Slop on My Knob. Like,
nope.
That's
no.
crazy.
That's a night full of Hennessy and regrets. Oh my gosh.
Just wow.
Sounds like a night in Miami. Oh, wait.
No,
Moving on.
We are leaving that in the no. Black
That was a
box.
free show. Y'all don't get to hear
Black
the free show.
box, please.
Yeah, no. Throw that shit in the Mariana Trench. I guess I'll finish with myself and mental health check. Honestly, I'm doing actually pretty good. I know Mr. Smith at Culture Sciences. I think some of you may know that I had a fitness competition with my students this week called First in Fitness. I've been really kind of stressing about it, not because I didn't think my kids could compete, because I know they can compete because they have me as a teacher, but that's beside the point. yeah, no, I'm joking, but all seriousness, I have all the confidence in the world in them. But I was just nervous because I had like maybe like a 3 week period where I had like four or five major things that I was in charge of that was stressing me out. And this was the last one for a while. And basically, where I was at with things was that I wanted it to be over, but I also wanted my students to feel confident and feel like they belong in these spaces. And to not to my surprise, but to my excitement, I had five out of maybe like five or six people out of my group of students who actually placed in the top six for their events. So I can't say their names because I gotta make sure I don't lose my job. But just shout out to them. Had a couple kids who finished first, had a student who finished first in standing long jump. Had a couple of students finish third and fourth place for their grade level, both boys and girls. Had a student finish top three in fourth grade for a 100-yard dash, and then another student finished fifth place, I think it was, for the 100-yard dash. So it made me feel very proud as like a teacher and all that stuff, making sure like they really executed things we talked about. But the one thing that I really want to shout out, which made me feel very proud as an educator and mentor, I had a student who was running the who thank you, Tess. I had a student who was running the mile run event where basically you had to complete 1 mile around the track. And basically he had the opportunity, well, not the opportunity. He finished his race, his time, and then another student finished their time. And integrity is something a big part that I preach to the kids. This student from my school had the opportunity to just let it slide, but he did the honest thing and let one of the people who was recording the times know that the student who he was running with actually finished before him. And because of that, that other student got sixth place. And my student came in seventh. But they even gave him a shout out on the mic for him being showing integrity to actually let the people know. And as much as I'm excited for the students who placed in the events, that made me probably the most proud out of anything because it takes a lot, especially for kids who want to do well, to be able to recognize not only that someone else did well, but also to have the confidence in who they are to actually mention it and share that with the people in the competition. So shout out to him. You made me very proud as a PE teacher and in general, all my students who competed. Even though I know some of them were very nervous, all I told them was just do your best, compete, and we just let everything fall where it may. Oh, and side note, for the parents who want to come up to me and try to give me unsolicited advice on how to run the event, I have choice words for you that I can't say because I don't know who's listening. Let's just put it
Got
that
y'all
way.
broke asses on.
Well, you would think they were broke, but it's the opposite. But we won't talk about that. They're very wonderful people. Let's put it that way.
I'm gonna say it for you because I don't work for the school. Sit your ass down and shut the fuck up.
I didn't say it. She said it. We're gonna move on. All
That's my
right.
thoughts and opinion.
Exactly. With that being said, we're gonna go ahead and get into some very interesting information. Mr. Smith, you know what to do.
Okay. So within the last couple of, well, the last time we spoke, Mark, well, I guess we're gearing up for NCAA with March Madness. And I want to first shout out the NCAA women's, I think it was the SEC championship, if I remember correctly, which, or don't quote me on that, but it was basically LSU versus South Carolina. Nigga. That shit was a good match. And don't get me wrong, I ain't gonna lie. I seriously don't think LSU has a answer for South Carolina. But that last, I don't know, it was like 7, 8 minutes of the fourth quarter when they started scrapping, I was like, oh, this shit's real, real. And shout out to Flo J. So Flo J was the person that got pushed. Shout out to Flo J's brother who hopped over the announcer table like, y'all want to do something? Then realized that these girls are twice the size and was like, what's up? Square up. But he is backing up as he was doing that. I was like, we see you, nigga. But we appreciate the fact that you got your sisters back. As such, there was a crazy ejection where it pretty much the ending of the game went down to 5-on-5 with no bench. I've never heard of that. Like, both teams doing that? Shit's crazy. So, looking forward to how this translates to the women's March Madness and whether LSU makes it to the final, along with Iowa and USC, which no, not USC. I'm sorry, South Carolina, who are I'm going to assume they're the projected number one overall seeds for each, depending on where they list, land. The NBA. Lakers are starting to hit a stride. D'Angelo Russell, I don't know who the hell he think he is, but this nigga's been cooking. And like, I'm sorry, whoever made that edit of the heat check that where LeBron got the ball and gave him that silo, like, nigga, if you don't shoot this damn thing, hilarious, sir. 5 points. That shit was funny as hell. So as I'm looking at the standings, there's like maybe I want to say, I don't know, 16 games left, give or take. And me and Brother X's Western Conference is tight. Like, one game can get you at the play-in. Like, that's how tight it is. It's ridiculous. Yes, I said it that way multiple times because of the people that's on here. And yes, Queen C, I see your eyes. Yes, I said that specifically because of y'all. Love y'all. So we're gonna see how this plays out going into the last 16 games with me and Teacher Bay's Lakers as well as Brother X's Golden State Warriors at 9 and 10. But literally, I mean, you're talking one game separates the seventh, eighth, and ninth seed. Two games separate 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. It's like it's that close. With 16 games, it could go either way. Now on to NFL. And I'm not going to talk about all the craziness. I'm just going to highlight a few key things. One, Russell Wilson going to the Steelers, hilarious. I am ready to whoop that nigga's ass 2 times a year, all the time. It's going to be great. I love it. Sierra, I'm sorry. Your baby daddy about to get knocked around. Because he, I don't think he's ever really been in a division like this. The AFC West is eh. The NFC West is eh. But the AFC North, nigga, we hit. There ain't no bullshitting. You know our division's crazy when every team in our division had a winning record and only two of them made it to the playoffs. Okay, just let that make sense. So yes, Patrick Queen, sir, you could have went anywhere. You could have went to the Seahawks. You could have went, I don't get the Steelers, my nigga. You go to our rivals for real. Like you went to our rivals. Yeah, we gotta expose him like CJ Mosley got exposed in the Jets. Just putting that out there. Morgan Moses got traded. I'm actually not mad about that because I'm gonna be honest, our tackles were our liability. I would have rather had him than Ronnie Stanley, but you know, it is what it is. You got to make the moves. And we got Derrick Henry. Now, listeners, beforehand, okay. Pardon the interruption. Taz, I did not know you were a Steelers fan. We still cool, but dear God,
I didn't know you were a hoe.
Wait a minute. Wait
Wow.
a minute.
Wow.
I am clasping my imaginary pearls. But carry on.
Hey, yo.
Oh, okay. All right. Don't worry. I'm gonna get you back with your OPR eggs and allergic head ass. So anywho. You know, we have Morgan Moses getting traded to the Jets, and you know, it is what it is. Ronnie Stanley took a pay cut. I doubt we're going to get Odell back. And we got Derrick Henry, which I'm both happy but like kind of about because I feel like Derrick Henry is kind of like a liability in the passing game. He's a downhill runner. And don't get me wrong, that nigga's juggernaut. He gets momentum. It's hard to take him down, but he's also getting older. I've seen him get stopped at the line multiple times. So granted, that read option is going to be serious because who do you cover? You either gonna get hit by Derrick Henry, or you're going to get juked out your shoes by Lamar. And then, God forbid, if you commit to that, Zay Flowers is going over the middle. He's going to the house. And if you commit to that, then Isaiah Likely is going across the middle. He's going to pick up the first down. If you commit to that, then Mark Andrews is going to get it. There's so many weapons. It's ridiculous. But my biggest concern right now is our offensive line. So I'm excited for what EDC will do to revamp our offensive line. And as far as defense, honestly, me and my brother Red Wolf had to talk about this. I'm actually not mad that Patrick Queen left, because a lot of people don't realize that Patrick Queen only was as good as he was because of Roquan Smith. If you look at the previous tape before Roquan got there, Patrick Queen was a good middle linebacker, but could not cover tight ends to save his life. Because Roquan got there, that took the pressure off of him, and now he can actually be the weak side middle linebacker, and that's cool. Now, if he's the strong Mike, we'll see what happens. But maybe he got better. Maybe he might give the Steelers, a chance to go, I don't know, 9-8. And then, you can maybe make the playoffs as a play-in. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But we're going to see about that from the NFL. And then the last thing is, I'm trying to figure out who got these people to give up all of this stuff like early. I thought the legal tampering period, you're supposed to find this stuff out. You're supposed to find this stuff out like 2 days before. Negro, we heard so much news in the first 10 hours. I was just like, wait a minute. What, like, do we have a legal tampering period? Like, what is happening right now? But I'm shocked that Saquon is an Eagle. I'm actually shocked that Josh Jacobs is a Packer. And I'm also shocked that, it just some of these things just don't really make sense as far as going to a rival team. Now, again, it's all love in the NFL. Like, yes, Steelers are our rivals, but I'm not gonna douse them. Now, there is somebody not on this podcast that I know personally. Yeah, me and him will fight every single time, because I'm sorry, he will say some blasphemous stuff and I will fire off in that hole. But outside of that, I'm looking forward to the year. We'll see what happens. As much as I'm excited, I will say nothing really matters until you figure out how to dethrone Kansas City.
Message.
Nothing matters. Kansas City is now the new New England Patriots. No matter what happens, they will somehow always make it to the AFC Championship, and they will somehow make it to the Super Bowl. They could have the worst record and be a four seed and make it to the AFC Championship somehow, some way. The Bills, they own. The Bengals, they own. Ravens pretty much own us. So we'll see. Yes, Queen C.
On behalf of all New England Patriot fans everywhere, I apologize. I didn't know this is how y'all felt. Because I'm tired to see the Chiefs in the AFC Championship.
Tom Archibald, Theodore the Third, Brady. No.
Is that really that nigga's name?
No.
No.
Not a real though.
His name is Thomas Benjamin Brady Jr.
Oh God, Benjamin Button.
He did age backwards. He did age backwards. He looked older when he got drafted.
I mean, that's Tom true. Did adopt their quarterback, so it's like the Chiefs are, I don't know, the next evolution or the upgrade. So, I mean, if you drop
first off,
ship,
they're
I
not the
wouldn't be mad
upgrade
at
because Brady has beaten Mahomes. Let's put that out there. Secondly, Chiefs is some hoes.
Well,
I said what I said.
You can't steal my word.
All right, fine. They some fuck niggas.
Oh, Lord.
Fuck niggas and a half, because that nigga ain't all the
way. Oh, half.
Wow, Mr. Smith, this
a
water
plus half
is really
nigga.
Good. And this table is really tabley.
Y'all some niggas. I'm not a, you know what? If you have any other questions, comments, or concerns, please reach out to my brother Red Wolf. His I can't even get the thing out. Y'all some niggas. His YouTube and his Instagram.
Mrs. Smith. In
the description
Mrs.
below.
Smith, I'ma save you. Just play us out.
Yeah.
Just play us out. All right, so we're actually going to get into the next segment of the podcast called Now Mind You. And Now Mind You is a segment of the podcast where we talk about stories that we find on the internet, social media that we find interesting, and we tell you the story about them with the Black vernacular, Now Mind You. So this first story, I don't know about y'all, but nigga, we want to talk about definitions of terrifying, like worst places to be when you are trapped. So there is this local zookeeper. We won't be able to play the audio, but I'm just going to try to give you play by play. A local Texas zookeeper got trapped in the gorilla enclosure. Now, mind you, listen, we're talking about Gorilla Gorilla. We're talking about not Glorilla, but shout out to her. That song is fire, by the way. But a big ass gorilla. And this nigga is eyeballing this first zookeeper. Like, nigga, what are you doing here? You in the wrong hood. And like he's literally staring her down while they're trying to get in the enclosure. In the enclosure, and the door's not closing. Now, mind you, it wouldn't be bad if it was just her, because she might be able to close the door and be fine. But in like the next second or third video, you literally pan to the right and you see a whole nother person stuck in the corner near the window. And then this one dude in the back is like staring at her, wondering, like, so what's gonna happen?
Wait, that's not a glass. That nigga's just chilling.
I think that's glass. I think that's glass. It has to be glass.
I sure hope so.
Because
White
literally, he
privilege
just.
ain't that strong.
Oh, yeah, he goes over there. And the minute he does that, shows his ass to old boy. If I'm this other zookeeper, I know you're not supposed to run around like dangerous animals, but Jesus, all 12 of his disciples, every NFL player at the combine ain't going to be able to beat me in that race.
Yo,
Y'all have any thoughts?
did she make it
How would
out?
you
That
respond?
white bitch about to get
To be in
mollywopped.
that situation to have to respond.
Fair enough. Taz?
I just asked, did she make it out? Because she looked like she ain't gonna make it. She
The
did.
world would never know.
Oh, okay.
Mrs.
Mr. Smith says she did. Did she trip? That's the important thing to ask.
No, if
Hey,
she tripped, she
yo.
deserved
Really? We do a scary movie in this bitch?
That
Bro,
shit's
no, if she
scary as
tripped, listen, she
hell.
deserved.
There's a 400-pound gorilla that can bench a car. Yeah, we doing a scary movie.
But my
Okay,
thing
Tracy.
is, no,
What?
she got out of there. But my thing was, as soon as you see homeboy walk, looking at the first one, I would have slowly made my way out of the frame so that way he doesn't know where I am. And then by the time he goes to the glass, I'm taking off for the door. You're not catching me going to that door because his back is going to be to me. But you just sat there and was just like, no. Like you
No,
said,
she did it right. She did it right because if she would have ran off, that nigga would have snatched her by her ponytail. That'd have been it.
oh, would have treated her like Raggedy Ann.
I mean, how
Queen
many
Zing.
black zookeepers do you know? Just saying, this is a weird profession. This is like animal slavery if you really want to look at it.
So this is what we doing now. Wow. I guess this what we doing now.
Nobody
Well, I
got
mean,
nothing
you're
to
not
say.
wrong. I mean, you be
I mean,
spitting facts. The more you know.
they did say white people own pets because they're not allowed to own people no more, so.
Hey, yo.
Yikes.
Greasy, I know we told you could be out of pocket, but can I see you in the kitchen real quick? You can't be saying that even though it's true.
Oh, my apologies. What I meant was, justice for Harambe.
Harambe.
Yeah,
That's
Miss
what
Smith,
this
go ahead.
is.
No comment. No comment whatsoever.
I'm going back on you. I'm sorry.
About to say, the wildest thing, though, is now, mind you, from trying to run away from one thing to being caught, listeners, what you're about to hear is probably one of the best post-game interviews I have ever heard in my life. I'm not going to give you any context. I just need you to listen to this. Mr. Smith, play the clip.
I've been crying, bro. Just imagine you're running from the cops in a stolen vehicle. They catch your stupid ass. They beat your ass. And then they give you a post-game interview. What the f?
fuck?
Yeah, I'm St. Lucie County Sheriff Keith Pearson. Franklin Sanders and his juvenile companion thought they were going to come through St. Lucie County with the stolen vehicle, with the Broward Task Force on their tail. Ain't happening. Although this is an M5 and it's super fast, we got the Scat Pack out. Hey, what'd you think? Good? Oh yeah, no comment.
Bro, talking about some, yeah, no comment. I'm not even from Florida, and I have nightmares about the Broward County Sheriff Department.
Although this car hit speeds of 160 miles an hour, the Scat Pack took him down.
A 392 Scat Pack, and y'all thought y'all could get away. What the fuck? Did Buddy not see the badge? Not even the badge. The fucking bumper, nigga. If I was in that car and I checked the side mirror and seen that shit, yeah, go ahead and let me out, bro.
I want to say shout out to the Broward County Sheriff's Office, Osceola County Sheriff's Office, Indian River County Sheriff's Office for making sure we put this bad guy behind bars where he belongs.
Ms. Smith, I know you do sports in it, but he might have you beat. Because, at all, like, first and foremost, get the serious out of the way. Hopefully he wasn't police abuse and all the things. But, nigga, ain't no way. I'm going to let these niggas do a post interview of how they caught my ass. Nigga, I promise you, while the video is going on, I am sprinting. I'm running with my hands behind my back because ain't no way you're going to get me like that. I can't go out that sorry. Coach Scientist, you have any thoughts? Okay, cool. Taz, go ahead.
All right, I just got something small to say. First, whenever the race elections come up, it's kind of crazy, but I think that Florida niggas are actually niggas. And I don't know. Like, racism aside, I get where you're coming from a little bit. Like, first of all, when they zoom in on this nigga's pandas, do you see the gap? He took his big brother's shoes. So that's why that nigga didn't get away. One, he can't drive. Two, he tripped getting out, and that's why Dusty White Man was able to pick him up. But I don't know. I'll leave it to the viewers.
Dog, that is a mean ass gap. I didn't even catch that.
Nigga, them shits are like size 14. He wears a 9.
Hold on, real quick. This is a throwback. We're gonna talk about this later in the episode. But dog, do you remember that one episode of Doug?
Where man, you took my quote. You took it. I was just about to say that.
Yo.
Damn it.
The nigga got on the Shaq 25 foot.
When Doug could not walk in them bitches, yes, that's exactly what he looked. That was literally what I was about to say.
That nigga stepping in surround sound. Kweesa, you have any thoughts?
I just had one thought. The fucking disrespect of the cop to have his ass handcuffed sitting by the motherfucking tire during the post-game interview. I'm sorry. I would have rolled underneath the car if possible. You're not going to have my black ass in the background handcuffed looking sad as hell in some big ass shoes while you over there talking about, yeah, you thought he was going to get away. But we got him.
What? I will say that one of my first thought was, of course this was Florida.
You know we can't go an episode without talking about Florida.
It was not surprising.
Oh, Florida's good as hell. I can't live in Florida.
Doug, shout out to Scott Davis, though. If you know, you know. any other thoughts before we move on, Mr. Smith?
Whoever put the NBA music while this man is talking, goaded. I have never. It's the fact that he said this man thought he was so fast enough, but you know, you see the thing over. I'm like, oh my god,
nigga, man. That was Broward County. That was the police department. They know. That's why I said for the race draft, if we gonna integrate, this is the perfect time. They are niggas. In every sense of the word, capital N, capital I, capital double G-A-S.
Oh, man, that is hilarious.
But yeah.
I was like, oh, I know what y'all can do. That's what we gonna do, okay?
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I thought, when I first looked at the video, I thought the dude was dead until he moved his knee. And then when Taz brought up the daggone space between his shoe, fam, I am weak. Like, yo, but overall, like they said, if you see a scat pack, my nigga, why are you running? Because no, I'm pulling over with the quickness. There is no outrunning that. You are going to get caught. What is that? Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. Like that's what's happening.
Hey,
And
now recap. Was that what kind of BMW was that? Was that an M badge or was that just a 5 series?
I'll have to look at it again when it resets, but I want to
Okay.
say that looked like a, I want to say it looked like a 5 series.
Okay. If he had M, maybe, just maybe he could have got away. If he turned a lot, like a lot, but I don't know.
Nah.
I don't run from the police because I'm a law-abiding citizen. Who drives a Honda Civic? So I don't got no hope, no way.
This nigga said, I got no hope, no way.
Oh no. Like that nigga trying to find a pair of shoes that fit. He ain't got no hope. All right. Speaking of no hope, listeners, there's this other story. I don't know what's going on with people. I'm not gonna give you any context. Just listen.
Is how my older brother reacted when he found out that my mom had gotten with his best friend. For context, at the time my mom was 36 or 37. My brother was 18 years old and his best friend was 23. So my two older brothers were at my mom's house with their girlfriends. They were all hanging out, drinking, and they were about to go out. And when they were all about to leave, my brother asked my mom, "Hey mom, what are you doing? We're leaving." And my mom was like, "Actually, I'm gonna stay and cut Kenny, aka his best friend's hair." And my brother looked at both of them in that moment and he knew that they had gotten together. Naturally, he was pissed. Brother took the keys to my mom's car. The car was sitting in her driveway. He had been drinking a little bit and he literally backed the car up, drove it really, really fast down the street, and purposefully crashed it into a pole. Obviously, he ended up totaling my mom's car, and our mom obviously wasn't very happy. After that, they didn't really get along for a minute, which I totally understand. Eventually, he had no choice but to get over it. Once he saw how happy my dad made my mom, he accepted it, and then they were able to move on. Mind you, this was in the 80s, and I wasn't even a thought. My brother's best friend is my dad.
Mrs. Smith, play that last part. Play that last part again.
Brother's best friend is my dad.
It again.
My brother's best friend is my dad.
What the fuck is you
What
talking
the fuck
about,
was
man?
that?
No, I'm sorry, man. You know, I was
Nigga,
I wasn't
man,
thinking
you
about it
always
when I
winning
did
that
it.
shit, man.
I should have said Mike Burger King.
So her uncle?
What in the inside?
Miss Smith, please bring clarity to this.
Hold on.
So,
I just want to point out that I was over here listening and doing my thing, and I just paused. I was like, wait, what?
exactly.
Basically, what happened was it's a big age gap between her and her brother. And her brother, I guess, was born when her mom was like, when. His her brother was born when her mom was 18, because her mom was 36 and her brother was 18 when this happened. The brother's best friend is 23. The brother's best friend got with the mom. Them two were not happy. All three of them were not happy, but then they got it all together. So the best friend ended up impregnating the mom and made her. So the best friend is her. So the best friend is also her dad. But it's also his stepdad.
Wait,
So the
wait.
original son
Master
has a best friend dad.
So the only
Only
reason
reason
so
why son got home, the
the
best friend
mother's
got home,
18. How old
there
is the
was a baby.
son?
No. So the mother at the time that she was talking about this is was 36. Son is 18.
And the best friend's 23.
Correct.
Okay. All right, I'm going back on mute.
Queen C, you have thoughts?
What in the country backwoods bullshit is this?
I mean,
Now,
you heard what he said.
I
I
have
mean,
seen some
sometimes.
shit, but damn.
I'm about to say, this
So
sounds like
that's
some American Pie type shit.
a little bit.
Sound like
A
Stifler's
little
mom.
bit.
Stifler's mom.
No comment.
I knew somebody's gonna do it.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, I think the son missed the opportunity. If he was like OG Petty, he would have slept with his mama's best friend and started a family. Like, brought it full circle.
Maybe she wasn't sexy. Maybe she wasn't a MILF.
I don't know.
At least we got the student loans paid and like a good meal out of it.
Doug,
what is saying? Now we even.
I'm
gonna go sit down.
Man, what really blows me is the fact that she says this so calmly as she's doing like get ready with me like makeup edition. She's just doing this like this is like oh this is normal. And yes, listeners, hold on. Before I assume this, I am confident, maybe about 95% confident. There are some white people in this story. I know she is very mulatto and white passing, but there ain't no way in the world ain't no white people involved in this shit.
Nigga, do you see how light she is? Yes. Now, whether it's the mama that did it or the best friend that did it, she got some white in her. Maybe she has some.
She got some black in her. We gonna say it.
No, not saying that. Never mind. I'm not even going to do it to her.
If the best friend is black, then the mom certainly got some black in her.
You know the son was actually Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, no.
Emotional damage.
Yeah, we're just going to be right back. Sir.
Bruh.
Sir,
you know what?
Sir.
I don't know. Oh my god! Taz Corner, strictly freaking corner, please. But overall, that is a wild story. That's all I'm gonna say. I can't do no more else because Taz is killing me right now. Oh, take it, brother. I don't want it no more. Take it.
Quincy, go ahead.
I might end up joining Taz in that corner in a minute. Remember the episode where we was talking about the football players who go to Alabama, stuff like that, and we said, why would they do that? And Brother X said, to meet their long-lost cousin and consummate the reunion. That's what this is.
Oh, shit. You're not wrong.
Matt Quincy, go join him now. Both of y'all, adjoining corners. Don't talk to each other. Just look in the corner. That's it.
Oh, wait. I might. Hopefully, it's the third corner. You ever just got coffee and you accidentally spilled too much creamer in your coffee, but you don't? You still got to drink it because you don't want to pay for a new coffee?
Is that the daughter?
Yeah. Real mulatto type.
Brother X, you go to the basement. All right, you go to the guy.
He said it's the daughter.
She a coffee mate? Oh no!
Quincy, you go to the next town. All right, so Tab, you go to the corner. Quincy, go to next town. Brother X, you go to the basement. This is ridiculous.
I'm already out of town. I gotta leave this town.
Yes,
the next like 5 seconds, I need you to go stand in the corner with that lamp.
Hey yo.
Oh,
listeners, if you ever see these video files, you will cry laughing because we are some ignorant mofos. But yeah, that is some crazy shit. And I feel like I forget what video it was that where the voiceover is like, hey, son, come meet my new boyfriend. And he's like, hey, how you doing, man? What's up? You don't like that? How about Bone Crusher 33? I haven't used that screen name in like 10 years. It's like, yeah, remember 10 years ago, Modern Warfare 2, you drop shot at me. I said, I banged your mom. You said, yeah, go ahead and try. Guess what? And it looks at it. That's what this is, legitimately. I'm like, damn. Back to you, Brother X.
No, that just hurt my feelings. You know what else hurts somebody's feelings? This next story. Mr. Smith, take it away.
My wife's phone because she's been acting shady and slipping out at night after I've gone to bed. I followed my... What?
That can never run, by the way.
Of course. After
I've gone to bed, you're leaving the yard.
Yeah. First of all, the confidence is crazy. I followed my wife and her bestie. The women were both dressed in black and dragging a white man into an alley.
What?
My wife straddled him and was kissing his neck. I called her name and my wife hissed at me. Her friend and the guy, who was bleeding from his neck, argued that I ruined their fantasy. My wife and her friend are members of an underground vampire sex club.
This can't be reality.
I've lost trust in our marriage. My wife says she lost trust in me because I tracked her phone. Who's wrong?
Fucking hell. Bro. My wife hissed at me.
Yeah, yeah. Tony said we're beating her like, bro.
You're fucking up the base, bro. You're fucking up the whole base, bro. Can't you see blood dripping from my neck, fam? It's a fantasy.
I'm locked in, big man. I try.
Before I go any further, this is very much inside joke. Some people might get this. We will get this. I know the culture scientists won't. But there's a certain person that we knew at our time at Hampton University. He had a nickname of Static Shock, where he had the exact hissing laugh. Just like they were hissing in the video. And I don't know why
you
that came to my mind.
Hey, shit.
What? I ain't use real names.
You ate shit.
I forgot all about that nigga until you just said that. Damn. Damn.
But first and foremost, culture scientists. No. No, I love you to the moon and back. I will do anything for you. But if I ever see you in a dark alley, first and foremost, I'm going to ask you, what are you doing here? Secondly, I'm going to ask, why are you dressed like Count Chocula? Why? I can't look at y'all because y'all going to mess me up. Why? You look like a member of Queen of the Damned. Why is he? Do you have this white man out here like that? Please don't ever do that to me.
First and foremost, I don't like white meat.
But you eat pork. Mrs. Smith, go ahead.
Moving on. Moving on. You're going to why I don't like you.
You don't like me, but you love me.
Oh, okay. Culture scientist, 15 points. That was beautiful. Oh my God. She said, I don't like white meat. You better like that dark meat, damn it. Yeah, I what? Like, okay, the whole fetish thing, that can be talked about. Me and you as a couple, like me and Teacher Bay could talk about this. Like, all right, if you want to do this, we can role play, it's cool. But for you to pull a random white man along with your friend down an alley, bite this nigga in the neck and talk about you a part of an underground set. Say what?
Don't forget the hissing part.
Oh, yes. Nigga, if you hiss at me. Go ahead, Queen C.
Mr. Smith, again, remember they're part of an underground vampire sex club. I don't think this was a random white man. I think he's part of the club.
See that wrong?
Yeah. Dog. Taz, what are your thoughts?
That nigga ain't got a wife, and she belongs to Count Chocula. I don't know. It's really weird. And he's a deep sleeper. He's a very deep sleeper. If my wife got up, cut that out. If my wife got up. You know, stumbled outside. I don't know, before she hit the door or the floor. So it's kind of weird.
Well, maybe she would float over you because she was a vampire, so you wouldn't feel her. No? Oh, okay. I'm gonna go back.
She's not a vampire.
I mean, she got like a harness above your bed. I mean, I don't know what you and your significant other's pleasures are. We're not here to judge.
Whoa.
Are we talking about sex slaves?
I don't know what you're talking about. I said a harness. You putting words into the conversation.
No, you putting thoughts in the conversation. I said nothing.
Cut it out regardless.
Brother X, you had a whole conversation with yourself.
was about to say, I'm not editing out none of this. So the only thing that I will edit out is the name to protect the innocent, because I don't want that smoke from her either. So yeah, that will be taken out.
My thing is, he said a harness over the bed, like we're not gonna put two and two together. We talk about somebody pretending to be a vampire having sex and a harness over a bed. It's a sex swing. Just call it what it is.
Maybe they have a Superman fantasy. Maybe
they got a red room.
Whoa.
A what?
Whoa. Don't ask. No questions. We will talk about this after. No, we are not doing that today.
That's the name of a great song, and now you just ruined the whole song for me, possibly. Anyway, I'm going back on mute.
Yes, and if you're listening to person that bleep, I didn't do it, okay? I didn't do it. I want no smoke from you. After me and you have talked at Brother X's and Culture Science's wedding, I want no smoke. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. None of that.
Please. Oh, I just Googled Red Room. I am traumatized, and I'm glad this is not my work computer.
My yeah, gosh. Go ahead and
I'm going to go ahead and clear my cache right now.
You got to bleach your hard drive after that.
Oh, yeah, nah. You got to get a new hard drive. But yeah, no, that's just crazy. But that's now, mind you. If you have any other stories that you want to share with us, don't hesitate to hit us up on our social media. That information will be at the end of the episode. Now, without further ado, what brings us to this episode? No, it doesn't have to do with Doug Funny having big ass shoes. We're actually going to talk about the cartoons that shaped us. First and foremost, I want to give a shout out to it was season 3, episode 8, where we did a Saturday morning cartoon draft. Shout out to Kelsey because you pretty much dominated that draft. I'm gonna give that to you. I will never financially recover from that draft. I'm looking like the Carolina Panthers right now, but we're not gonna talk about that right now. But what we're actually gonna do is first and foremost acknowledge Akira Toriyama. He was actually the original Mangeki, I think it's the word, of the original Dragon Ball series as well as Dragon Ball Z. He created the designs for the first episode of Dragon Ball GT, but he did not write the story for that. But he did write the story for Dragon Ball Super. But for those who don't know, Dragon Ball Z is a pillar of the Black community and Hispanic community. I'm about to say it literally carried Toonami on its back for a few years. That Cell Saga went on for like 5 years when it was only like 100 episodes probably. But Akira Toriyama, unfortunately, March 3rd, I believe it was, either March 3rd or March 1st, he unfortunately passed away from a brain-related issue. I forget the exact term off the top of my head.
Oh, subdermal hemorrhage? Yeah, subdermal hemorrhage hematoma.
Yeah, so very unfortunate. I have not seen the Black anime community come together so much over this one person. Like, even if you weren't a anime nerd or somebody who was into that, Culture Scientists included, everybody knew about Dragon Ball Z. You understood. You've seen Goku in the Macy's Day Parade.
I like my jacket. I like some of the jackets.
Like, I have plenty of apparel and stuff for that, and it's just huge. Like some of the most iconic moments in my childhood are of Dragon Ball Z. When you saw Goku go Super Saiyan for the first time, or when you saw Kid Gohan beat Cell, or anything like Spirit Bomb, like everybody knew, like, give me your energy. Like, you just knew it. So I wanted to have this episode as a way to kind of tribute not only to Dragon Ball Z, but to cartoons that we watched as children, even now. Yeah, it did take a whole month. Even now, we want to just acknowledge the cartoons because we're kids of the 90s and 80s. Some of us were kids of the 70s, but we won't say who that is. but no, in all seriousness, man, we want to kind of give a shout out to all these cartoons and kind of talk about them. So before we go into those examples, did anybody have any thoughts about the passing of Akira Toriyama? Mr. Smith.
So I remember when I would rush home from school, when Dragon Ball Z would come on at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Toonami, after Sailor Moon, and I forgot the, no, Sailor Moon was like 4:30 or something else right before that. When I tell you that show had me in a freaking chokehold. First of all, Frieza blowing up the damn planet took damn near like a whole 2 weeks for 5 minutes. That still doesn't make any damn sense. But what this man did to bring anime to the States, like nerd black kids like myself could be like, yo, I literally can get the lessons from this show. Perseverance, train hard, play hard, sleep plenty. It was just, God damn it, Brother X, really? Really? I was being personal, and you're gonna call Frieza the first racist, even the, which you're correct because he kept calling them monkeys. But I mean, they did move from Planet Vegeta, who's known as turning into great apes, but we're not gonna go in there. But yeah, this man, I don't know, he just had the blueprint to my childhood. Whether it was the Frieza saga, whether it's, I'm sorry, one of the first episodes of me seeing Goku versus Vegeta and that damn beam struggle between a Gallic gun and a Kamehameha wave, top 10, top 5, damn near top 2. It used to be number 1 until the most recent he went Ultra Instinct, but we're not gonna go there. But this man's artistry and lessons and morals and things that he taught were so embedded in me that I literally, to this day, will do workouts on the weekends. I already posted on my Instagram story. I have Dragon Ball Z inspired socks. Goku, Vegeta, Gogeta, Broly, Frieza. I feel like I'm missing one. I think there's a six. Oh, Piccolo. Of course, I gotta get the only nigga that's there. But
I'm about to say, you better talk about that black man. Black History Month was not even a week ago.
Oh yeah, and for the matter that he was the one, he was the only black man to take care of another person's child. What? But
Oh yeah. He wasn't a stepfather. He was a father that stepped up.
what message? But you know, it's just those things are embedded in my head to the tune where like part of my mental health has been I work out probably 3 to 4 times a week, and within that, I just always keep thinking of either Goku and the hyperbolic, no, Goku and the spaceship going to Namek, training at 100 times gravity, or Vegeta training at 100 times gravity, or both of them training in a hyperbolic time chamber, which was a whole year and a day. That still is crazy to me. But like every time that this man was gassed, he was somehow pushed through and persevered. It's like, yo, if he can do that, if these athletes can do that, why can't I? And those morals, those lessons, especially when Master Roshi, even though Master Roshi was definitely a perv, will forever live within me. So this man is definitely a piece of my childhood. And I'm not going to say that his passing hit like Kobe's, but it was close. I give it like 2, maybe 3. It hit like that. So shout out to Akira Toriyama for being instrumental in my childhood.
Did anyone else have any thoughts before we move on? Taz, did you have something?
No, I think Brother Smith positioned it very well, so I don't want to take away from his very eulogy. So thank you, sir.
All right, all right. Quincy, just making sure, don't want to miss anybody.
I am like the culture scientist. I didn't really watch Dragon Ball Z. However, I do know a lot of the references, and I know they ended up in a lot of shows that I have watched, like Fairly Odd Parents, Avatar: Last Airbender, things like that. So definitely rest in peace to a very creative mind. Also rest in peace to Janice Burgess, I believe her name is, who was the black woman who created the Backyardigans. They actually passed away back to back. So we lost
Yeah.
two really big creative minds of our childhood.
Dog, I will never forget that song. This is the Backyardigans. We're going on a trip in my favorite rocket ship. Dog, one of my favorite songs of all time.
See, Castaways is a banger for me.
Fair enough. Fair
That's
enough.
the original banger. But I knew a black woman created the Backyardigans when you had a character called Uniqua.
Oh, you knew that was somebody black in the room.
That's me.
Either it was somebody black in the room or somebody was racist on that show. One of the two was happening. There was no in between.
My thing was we had Pablo, Tyrone, and Uniqua. Nah, that's a black woman back there.
I I don't know why I felt so seen in that show. All right. let's go ahead and transition to some examples. Like, what are some, besides, like, I know for us, me and Mr. Smith, we talk about Dragon Ball Z and Toonami. What are some cartoon shows that shaped you as a person? Culture Scientist?
Rugrats.
Rugrats, okay.
And then Rugrats grew with me because they even have the Rugrats when they were teens. And,
all grown up?
Yeah. And okay. That was nice because, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, they grew up with me.
Yeah.
So shout out to Rugrats. Shout out to Susie.
Oh yeah, Susie.
And you know, I wanted to be a doctor way back then too, before I realized. So I thought it was really cool that the mom was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So I influenced a little bit.
Cause wasn't it supposed to be like a play on Bill Cosby?
I assume so.
I mean the dad low key looked like Bill Cosby. Like lowest of low key. I would say that. I would say another show. I know I've referenced it a couple of times. Doug was always interesting to me. Yeah. First and foremost, some of the most bangingest songs. Banging on the Trash Can, Strumming on the Streetlight, classic. You had Hey Arnold. Oh, Hey Arnold, if anyone shaped me as a kid, like they had, I don't know who was in that writer booth, but you let that man cook every time. Like, I'm coming to his house every time he cooked. Because there was some, like, you had Pigeon Man. You had, I think it was Mr. Wynn with his daughter. You want to talk about Stoop Kid? Torval? Like, I promise you, woogity woogity woop. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. Hey Arnold might be my goat. I know I didn't draft, I don't think I drafted them in the episode, but Hey Arnold might be my goat.
Oh yeah, that was me. That was my number one pick right there.
No, it's phenomenal.
There was a lot of lessons in it. There was all races in it.
Yeah.
It was very inclusive. Kind of like Recess, but I prefer Hey Arnold.
I'm gonna throw it back even further when you used to have to stay home, and if you didn't have like real cable, so you don't have like the basic cable. I remember like Nick Jr. when I was a little bit younger, watching things like not the Bernstein Bears or Little Brother Bear or whatever it was. You had that. You had Little Bill. Oh, classics.
Little Bear.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Little Bear.
Thank you, Little Bear. I don't know why I got them mixed together, but yes, just classics. Now, let alone, we're talking about afternoon, like, I'm a whole nerd, Pokemon, Digimon, which is underrated in my opinion, but that's beside the point. Yes, we did wait 12 years for Arnold to find his parents, and it was beautiful. We literally debunked my parents' TV when they had the movie special when they found him.
Yeah, we found a way to watch. Make sure we watched
it. Oh, yeah, no, that wasn't nobody stopping me that night. I needed closure. I'm sorry, I'm being rude. Let me open the floor up to other people to share their shows.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about my childhood, man. I'm sorry about my childhood. Anybody else want to go? Mr. Smith?
You did go in your soapbox real quick. But I'm sorry. Let me get this one. Let me get this one. And this and that and this and that and this and that. And then SpongeBob, blow bubble. So I have two.
You're making up for the draft.
Ooh.
Hey, I got to. You're right, I do. I did fumble.
Whoa.
I fumbled my Tom Brady in that one play, but we're not talking about that.
Hey.
I mean, I'm gonna have to go on Queen C's side on this one. 7 out of 10. You can't. I can't argue against that. I'm sorry.
I didn't say nothing about winning championships. I said fumble.
I'll take a championship over a fumble any day. I'm sorry if you got a fumble, but we win, nigga. They still a ring is a ring. Ring is a ring. Two shows that shaped me, one as a child and one as a teenager and one as a college kid. Child, Proud Family, because that definitely had some moments where it's like, oh, La Cienega again with them big ass feet, and they had to figure out how to deal with that. And then some of the Gross Sisters, bruh, it's like, oh yeah, we all had to go through these types of, like, again, writers were in their bag. As a teenager, Boondocks. I'm sorry. Boondocks shaped how you look at things, both from a nigga and from an inspiration. If you wanted the nigga side, you went Riley. If you wanted inspirational, you went Huey. Sometimes inspirational also went dark because Huey sometimes, I'm like, damn. I never looked at BET the same after that damn episode, but I understood. So yeah, those two. Riley's rant about R. Kelly, fucking iconic. I'm sorry. If I was her, I'd just get out the fucking way. And you know what? If he get arrested, I'm gonna piss on your cat. God damn, Riley. You that mad?
Oh man. Quincy, what about you?
I have a lot of them as well. One very underrated one from toddler preschool for me was Muppet Babies, the original, not the bullshit remake they tried to do a few years ago. The original Muppet Babies. That was my jam. Blue's Clues, because I was still in elementary school when Blue's Clues came out. Shout out to Faith, so Nick Jr., like the original Faith, because again, obviously our childhood was the best because they keep trying to recreate it for all these newer generations.
Message.
Fucking message. Fucking message. Get it.
But them little the Gen X ones always want to talk about millennial cringe. Sorry. That hit home. Continue.
Yeah. You ain't wrong though. Other ones that I feel like are underrated, Ah, Real Monsters. Angry Beavers was my jam. I actually learned a lot about how to get along with, siblings, things like that from Angry Beavers. And sometimes you just didn't get along, and that was okay. Because at the end of the day, as long as you had each other's backs, you were good. And then I'll bite off Mr. Smith as well with Boondocks. Late teens, college, Boondocks was it. And Avatar, The Last Airbender as well.
Mr. Smith, go ahead.
I just want to piggyback off of, I'm gonna bleep that out. I'm piggyback off of Queen C real quick. I don't remember if Brother X was on the bus with us, but I know Queen C was. The fact that we were able to persuade the chaplain for us to watch for us to watch
Shout
Boondocks.
out to the Hampton chaplain for back in the day. She said, "This is the deal. The first three episodes we watch, you all have to tell me three things each episode that they're talking about in the context behind it and give me an explanation of why it's important." And we were able to do it. After, I think she sat down after the second episode and didn't get back up. She just let us have
And we watched the entire first season.
on our way to New York.
Good times, good times. But yeah, as soon as you said that, I was like, "Dang, we did watch that." All of us were just like, "So, what is this episode about?" Everybody's hands up. Like, yep, we in school.
You would have thought we were in class for real. Everybody's hands went up. And we have some ignorant friends, but everybody had a serious answer. That's how bad we wanted to watch Boondocks on that bus ride.
Good times.
What about you, Taz? Talk to me.
All right, so as far as recent, I say Hunter Hunter. I found that inspirational, and so the main character, the protagonist, Gon, went through adversity, but like even at his inception, you could always see that he was a born leader, and we got to watch him develop. As far as classics, I would say Arthur. That's like grown to evolve. Like everything would be one of the things I liked about that show was it wasn't about race. They were little animals, and so they could tell anybody's story and relate to anyone. The next one would be Batman, specifically Batman Beyond, and Joker was the GOAT. Other than that, I have Cyber Chase, another PBS classic, and Reboot. These were all tech classics. I have a technical background as Taz, but I don't know. It was just like a very interesting post future, I guess, perspective, and so that's why I enjoyed it.
Okay. I think part of what else, and I think I mentioned it earlier, was that I think that it meant a lot because for some kids, that was our, like I think Mrs. Smith said, it was our resource to learn life lessons and to kind of like really like build our moral compass in a sense. I remember there's so many like facets of who we are as a kids because you weren't the hip kid if you missed the last episode. or they told you you had to leave the lunch table if you didn't hear about what happened in the latest episode of Dragon Ball Z, or if you couldn't power up like a Super Saiyan, because there were so many trends on social media, like black kids trying to go Super Saiyan, niggas busting up blood vessels trying to scream as hard as they could, or literally just so many iconic memes like SpongeBob. At first I wasn't the biggest fan of SpongeBob, but it's starting to become one of those things where it's like you can't deny the cultural impact, because the music, like you get some of your songs played at the Super Bowl, one of the world's biggest television events. Like you have impact, and it's not just, oh, why are you watching those silly cartoons? No, I mean, for some people, that's all they had. Like niggas didn't have friends, so they just watched cartoons in a sense. Any other thoughts before we move on? All right. I guess let me call audible. If you, and this kind of plays back to when we did the draft, if you had to, I'll give you two. One is pick four shows for, just off the top of your head, four shows that you would want your kid to watch every school day, like right after school, like weekday, and then give me at least three for the weekend. So four for every afternoon after school and three for the weekend. Mr. Smith, go ahead.
All right, so I'm a channel my inner teacher bae for this, because the four that are for the every day, some of them have to be educational and have to provide some good morals. So one of them definitely got to be the Magic School Bus. That's top right there, right? And then another one, I would say probably Rugrats for the just so they can kind of get a little bit of moral support. Proud Family for the weekday. And then I'll probably end it off with, let's keep it light. I'll say Captain Planet for the weekday.
Okay.
Weekend, where you can have a little bit more fun and be a little bit more, you know, adventurous, I would say let's go Rocket Power, X-Men, the animated series. Ooh. And I'm going to do Dragon Ball Z just because they need to understand the culture.
Fair enough. Anybody would like to go next before I pick on you like in class? Taz.
All right. So for the weekday, I have VeggieTales. You got to stay grounded. I have Carmen Sandiego, the Netflix series. If you haven't checked that out, it's bomb, and it does a really good explanation about geography and history. It's a boomafoo, even though I'm afraid of that fucking monkey. And the Cosby Show. And on the weekend, me and the kid is gonna have the cereal popping, and we're gonna watch X-Men, Rugrats, and the OG Dragon Ball.
Ooh, that's solid. Queen C, what about you?
So I kind of already have a cheat with my nephews for this question. So weekday, we're going straight educational. I'm doing Gullah Gullah Island. I'm doing Blue's Clues. We are doing Wild Kratts or Zaboomafoo, something from the Kraft Brothers. And then I am doing Martha Speaks, which is a PBS show about a talking dog, but she's intelligent. That or Teacher's Pet can go either way. For the weekend, what I've done with my nephews is we have binge watched Avatar The Last Airbender together, me and my older nephews. We have binge watched The Legend of Korra together, and we have binge watched every single episode of Steven Universe.
Those are solid choices right there. So me and the Culture Scientist are going to cheat, since we are married and we're both on the podcast. We're going to do it combined. So I'm gonna give two for the weekday. You're gonna give two for the weekday. And then I'll pick Saturday, because more than likely it's going to be me watching with the kids. So what are your two for the weekdays?
I have to go with Mr. Smith and definitely say Magic School Bus.
Okay.
And the educational part, just not Magic School Bus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Sid the Science Kid.
Sid the Science Kid? Okay, good. I like that. I'm going to go author. Because there are a lot of life lessons in there. if we're talking about really young kid, I don't know why this is sticking in my mind, but Clifford. I like Clifford.
I respect because I love Clifford was my show when I didn't have cable. That shout out to PBS.
Because I'm about to say, because if we be between bills and we ain't got the streaming services, they gonna watch Clifford. But that's beside the point.
I would like to give an honorable mention to Gullah Island because that would also educate about my heritage.
Yes. And then I guess for Saturday, you know, I'm gonna give them appreciation of the classics. I'm gonna go OG Sonic Adventures, where he used to be like the mentioned one eating the chili dog. I'm gonna have to go with Pokemon because I have to. My child is going to pick their Pokemon starter when we have them. It's going to happen. Like bookmark this. But then you're also gonna have, because I'm torn. Because I'm torn between either Avatar or Teen Titans. Because I love Teen Titans, and it was a big thing for me. But I might have to lean Avatar just because there's so many cultural references that I'm like, there's layered conversations that I could have with my kids. Like, you ever seen like the baby like having a conversation with his dad talking about anime? And the baby's just talking gibberish, but you're like, uh-huh, yeah, I can't believe you did that. Yeah, I need that type of conversation with my baby. Quincy.
I also have a quick impromptu question, if you don't mind me asking, Brother X, Culture Science.
By all means.
So for everyone, who's your starting Pokemon?
Well, that's easy for me because I only gonna have one. And it's Pikachu.
Well, let's be more specific. You want the Deadpool Pikachu because you, after Pokemon Detective Pikachu, you
correct what I want.
Am I wrong?
I know what you said, but I also go back to my childhood, and I have a relationship with my brother
uh-huh.
who lives out in Reno. Shout out to him. That was something we bonded over. So I do know a little bit.
I just remember an exact conversation where you said you wanted the Deadpool version of
it. That was the best one. But I'm going back to my childhood.
Okay. Carry on. Quincy, what about you?
I also love Pikachu, but my starting Pokemon, if we're not talking about the starters, just starting Pokemon, Eevee.
Solid. Mrs. Smith?
Charmander. I need my Charizard by the time thing's over. I don't care how angry that person is or how much he ignores me. I'm gonna train that nigga. That Charizard gonna remember me.
Taz.
I put in the chat, but Gengar, because I'm a dark nigga. And before you come at me, I know that Haunter is his original form. I start off in my final form, so we don't play that.
Benjamin Butthead ass.
I will say this one. This is not new in the sense of the games, but newer than those. I'm gonna have to go with one that's called Lucario. It's literally its design is based off of Anubis. It's like a fighting steel type. It's just very strong. It's been in like a bunch of movies. Like, I think it always like top 10. And like all like the votes of like top popular Pokemon. I'm gonna put a picture in the chat for you guys, but I don't know. I think that's probably my go-to. And I about to say, if I had to pick a Pokemon that I will, in my mind, I want a Pokemon that kind of looks like me, kind of like how your pets sometimes end up looking like you. Like Lucario would probably be my pick. Like, I'm probably going to get a tattoo of it at some point. But beyond that. I think we can kind of finish on that point. Did anybody have any other thoughts about cartoons before we move on or we close things out? Mr. Smith.
90s kids, 80s babies, late 80s babies. Our childhood is goated. Can't tell us otherwise. We had the best cartoons, we had the best movies, we had the best shows. Thank you, Taz, and the best video games. I'm still playing them shits right now. NBA Street Volume 2, goated. Def Jam Fight for New York, goated. Grand Theft Auto, all the series, goated. I will say that I am appreciative. Damn, I forgot about GoldenEye. Thank you, Taz. Damn. I will say that I'm appreciative, and I'm sure everybody in this on this podcast right now is appreciative of when we came up, what was available to us, how we navigate things, because we have the best of both worlds. Gen X can get out and do things on their own with their hands and everything, but the tech world, they're kind of sketchy. People after us, all they know is the tech world, but God forbid if the tech they know work out, they are screwed. We have the best of both worlds. So we know we can look it up online, but if God forbid we got to get dirty with the hands, we can get dirty with the hands. And I love the fact that we will always have that for us. I kind of miss the simplicity of life when it was during that time. So listening to you guys with the cartoons and the morals and what Akira Toriyama and others have done for our childhood and our life will forever be just, there's no debate. GOAT.
That's a perfect way of putting things, man. With that being said, before I close out our transparent moment, just find substance in your cartoons. I'm not going to tell you how to parent your child, but allow them to be a kid and see things. There is quality stuff being put out both for adolescent and older teens. And honestly, I'm going to be personal. Let your kids watch anime. It's not of the devil. Let them watch a little Yu-Gi-Oh! Let them watch a little Pokemon, a little Digimon. Let them watch some Demon Slayer. Don't let them watch Berserk. If you know, you know. Let them watch some anime. Let that kid live a little bit. It's going to build some character. Now, if they start running around like Naruto, I don't know what to do. That ain't my fault. That's just on him. man. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close things out with our social media. You can always hit us up on our social media at the TNT Pod 123 on Twitter, Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, Truth and Transparency Pod on TikTok. Although I don't know how long that's going to last, but we didn't get to talk about that today. The Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on YouTube. And you can always hit us up at our email address at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. And for the culture scientists, for Tez, for Queen C, for Mrs. Smith, for myself, and for all of our fans and supporters, if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. We are forever grateful. And the immortal words of my father, eat the elephant one bite at a time. Peace.
Fuck the club up. Fuck the club up. Block up. Fuck the club up. Fuck the club up. Queen C's birthday coming down and in the pipe. Teacher Bay's birthday coming next day on the mic. Block up. High heel on their tippies. What? We gonna get lit for the sippy. Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah, my nigga, you went full city, girl.
Now listen to me, boys. Always remember these words. Work hard, study well, and eat and sleep plenty. That is the Turtle Hermit way. We must master the art of peace in addition to the art of war.
Shut up and fight!
The Turtle Hermit School will be with you. Always. This will be my greatest, most powerful power!